Well, some of you have had the challenge of trying to figure out what dad needs. And that is on Father's Day or sometimes Mother's Day. It's not as seem as difficult on Mother's Day, but on Father's Day, what do you need? And if you're anything like I am, that is dads are, you say, well, we don't need anything and don't really want anything. Now, that maybe that's just me or maybe that's common among the guys. If some of you have said that recently, would you just raise your hand? Oh, that's what I thought. I thought it was pretty common. I don't really need anything, don't really want anything. And that's kind of the way we are. But I want to preach to you a little bit today about something that every dad needs. And that is every dad needs to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Now, I've been preaching this series of messages to you for a while, but since it's Father's Day, you know this is something that every man needs, every dad needs, every person needs. And that's one of the greatest needs that we have in our life. First of all, our greatest need is to be born again. That is the genuine new birth. Those who know the Lord, who've been born again, have the Holy Spirit living on the inside of them. You and I are living in a culture, and that is in a culture here in our country anyway, in a church culture, in which there are a lot of people who've walked an aisle or made a profession of faith or have gotten baptized or did whatever it is their church or religion tells them to do and believe that they're going to heaven. But many have never been born again. They've never been brought to the point of brokenness over their sinful, lost condition, and never been brought to the point of believing or resting in Christ and His finished work alone, and have never experienced the indwelling of the Spirit of God on the inside of them, never had a real new birth experience. And probably the most important thing to recapture today is that message about what conversion really is, what it means to be born again. And we've tried to do that, and we know that it's most important, and that's the most important thing in your life, and that is to know you've been born again. And secondly, the second most important thing is those who have been born again, who are indwelt by the Spirit of God, have had a new birth experience, to be filled with the Holy Ghost, to allow the Spirit of God, who now lives on the inside of us, to fill and to dominate our lives. Let me just remind you once again, I know it's a reminder for most of you, but there may be someone here today who hasn't heard me say this, and that is what it means to be filled with the Holy Spirit. That is, we know there's a resistance to it because we're not always and all together filled with the Holy Spirit, and the resistance comes from our flesh. That is, our old sinful nature fights against the filling of the Holy Spirit, and the reason why is because the issue is about who's going to control our life. And most of us want to control our own lives. We want to be in control of ourselves, of our own lives, and that is our flesh. Our sinful nature wants to be dominant in our life. And at the same time, those who have been born again have the Spirit of God living on the inside of you, and the Spirit of God also wants to dominate your life. He wants to fill and control you. It's about who controls your life. That is, according to Ephesians 5:18, when you and I experience the reality of the filling of the Holy Spirit in our life, it is indeed it's like a man who is drunk that is controlled by the alcohol that he has drunk. That is, he's dominated by the alcohol. His whole life is dominated by that. And even so, those who are filled with the Spirit of God, they are dominated by the Holy Spirit who now lives on the inside of them. It's like somebody walking, according to Galatians 5, walk in the Spirit, the Bible says. And that is, it's about who's going to provide direction for your life. That is, are we walking after the flesh? Or are we walking after the Spirit? So it's about domination and about direction. It's about who controls us. And that is who is controlling my life. Is it my flesh or is it the Holy Spirit? I'm going to say to you that when you got saved, when the Spirit of God came to live on the inside of you at the point of conversion, that the Spirit of God living in you wants to control every aspect of your life. He wants to control your mind. He wants to control your will, your decisions. He wants to control your emotions. He wants to control your relationships. He wants to control every aspect and every angle of your life. And that is every part of you internally and the decisions we make externally. He wants to dominate and control all of that around us and within us. He wants to fill us. And we discovered in the book of Acts in this series of messages that is the key to what happened in the early church. The reason why that they were able to be used so powerfully is because they were filled with the Holy Ghost, according to Acts chapter 2 and verse number 4, according to Acts chapter 4 and verse number 8, according to Acts chapter 4 and verse 31. Listen, when you read throughout the book of Acts, there's a pattern that runs through it, a theme, and that is that this is indeed the Spirit of God dominating the people of God, and that's the reason why the great things are happening, miracles are taking place, many people are turning to Christ, the gospel is spreading, churches are being established, and the reason why is because somebody's living on the inside of these believers, the Spirit of God, and He's filling, dominating, and controlling them from the inside out. It's the key to what's experienced in the book of Acts. And listen, there are many in this room, I would guess anyway, or I would hope to say that there are many in this room who have been genuinely born again, that your desire on the inside is that the Spirit of God would fill and dominate and control your life. You feel the resistance, I know, and the reason why is because of our flesh. But while you feel the resistance, you still have a desire to experience the reality of the Spirit of God filling, dominating, controlling your life, and not your flesh, but instead the Spirit of God living on the inside of us. We know where the flesh will lead us because the Bible tells us in Galatians 5, verses 19 through 21, where the flesh will lead us. It's not where God wants us to go. But if we walk in the Spirit or allow the Spirit of God to control or dominate our life, ladies and gentlemen, then there are going to be the kind of results in our life, the results of the filling of the Holy Spirit that those who are true believers who've been born again desire so greatly. What are the results of being filled with the Holy Ghost? We've been trying to discover that over the past few services. I've said to you that, that the Spirit of God who lives on the inside of us, when He fills our life, He wants to develop in us the what I was simply referred to as godly fruit. We discover the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5, verses 22 and 23, and we spend some time looking at each of the nine aspects of the fruit of the Spirit. That is, those are the things that the Spirit of God wants to develop in us if we'll allow Him to fill us. You see, if I allow the Spirit of God to fill me, to fill my life, if I allow Him to do that, what is it going to look like? It's going to look like godly fruit. That is the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5, verses 22 and 23. We also discovered this past Wednesday night, for those who were here, that the Spirit of God not only wants to develop godly fruit in our life, but also blessed assurance in our life as well. If you allow the Spirit of God to fill you, one of the things He's going to fill you with is blessed assurance. We'll have the Spirit bearing witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, Romans 8 and verse number 16. I spent some time preaching about that this Wednesday night. Listen to me now. One of the results of being filled with the Spirit is blessed assurance. The Spirit of God wants to fill you with assurance so that you're overflowing with it. So you don't have to keep wondering whether you're saved or whether you're lost. So that you're not up and down. When the Spirit of God comes to live on the inside of somebody and begins to dominate their life, the up and the down is over. And that is what one time I think I'm saved, another time I'm not sure I am, and it's just kind of up and down. That is, I get myself all propped up and think I must be saved, and then something happens, or somebody gets to worshiping, or something, somebody gets genuinely born again. I'm back down here wondering whether I am or not. If you ever get born again, the up and the downs will be over. And what I mean by this, you'll know that you're saved, and the reason why, you got the Spirit of God living on the inside of you, bearing witness with your spirit that you're a child of God, so that your head and your heart are now in agreement and you have full assurance. Now, I preached about that Wednesday night. I'd like to preach about it again. I'd like to preach about it every Sunday if I told you the truth. But there might be some other things that we need to be thinking about. But I just want you to know, and you ought to know this, and that is those who have been genuinely born again, they have blessed assurance. And the reason why is because they not only know they're saved mentally, but I tell you, they've got sweet assurance on the inside of their heart and their head are saying the same thing, and that is, I've been born again, and I know, and I know, and I know that I have. And as the Spirit of God fills and dominates your life, that blessed assurance becomes sweeter and sweeter and sweeter. There's godly fruit, there's blessed assurance, and thirdly, we discovered there is spiritual growth. Those who are dominated by the Spirit of God, what the Spirit of God wants to work and do in us is spiritual growth. He wants to grow us, ladies and gentlemen, in our experience of spiritual things. Not just in our knowledge of spiritual things, not just so we know more about what the Bible says, but so that it becomes the experience of our life. Growing spiritually. He wants to help us grow. He wants to teach us and grow us and, ladies and gentlemen, help us to experience everything that God has purposed for us as His people. So here's what we've discovered so far when it comes to the results of being filled with the Holy Ghost. That is, there is godly fruit and there is blessed assurance and there is spiritual growth when the Spirit of God is filling and dominating your life from the inside out. That's what He does. So I want you to think with me about some other things of the Spirit of God, some other results of being filled with the Holy Ghost. The Spirit of God living in you, He's got some things in mind for you. It's not just godly fruit. It's not just, ladies and gentlemen, blessed assurance. It's not just spiritual growth, but it's also divine direction. If you're keeping a list, it'd be about number four, divine direction. The Spirit of God wants to direct your life. Now, I've already alluded to that already when we looked in Galatians 5, verse 16, where the Bible says, walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. When we looked at Galatians 5, verse 24, when the Bible says, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. The idea of walking in the Spirit, ladies and gentlemen, is walking according to or after the direction of the Holy Spirit. Following Him. That means that He's the one setting the direction for our life. Not me, but Him. The direction of my life is going in is not something that I get to decide. But He does. When He's dominating our life, He sets the agenda. He's the one who establishes the direction. He's the one who's making the decisions, and we ourselves are simply affirming what it is the Spirit of God is leading and what the Spirit of God is saying. They say, Pastor, how do you know? How do you know what the Spirit of God is saying? How do you know the direction that God is leading? That's why we need to be filled with the Holy Ghost, filled and dominated by Him so that we can know what the Spirit of God is saying, so we can know the direction in which He's leading, so that we can know what the Spirit of God is saying to our hearts. He wants to lead you, and He wants to guide you. We see that in John 16 and verse number 13. That is when our Lord was in the upper room with these disciples. He was speaking to them about the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And in the verses prior to John 16, 13, He told them in verse number 7, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it's expedient or necessary or good for you that I go away. Now, they're sad because our Lord is getting ready to leave, is getting ready to go away, and they're all sad about it. They don't want their Lord to leave, but He said, it's necessary and good for you for me to go away. And here's why. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send Him, that is the Comforter, to you. The Comforter is referring to the Holy Spirit. He referred to the Holy Spirit in John 14 earlier on in the evening as the Comforter. And so He said, listen, it's necessary for you that I go away. Jesus had to go to the cross. Atonement had to be made. And that is, Jesus had to die for our sins, paid the price, redemption's price, at the cross, and He was raised the third day, and then He ascended back to the Father. And He said, all of that has to happen in order for the Holy Spirit to come and live on the inside of you, for the Holy Spirit to come to you. That has to happen. And the reason why is because the new covenant, that is this new covenant ministry of the Holy Spirit, is established on the basis of the work of Christ on the cross, His blood that was shed, His atonement that was made, His resurrection the third day. And when I paid that price and atonement's been made, then He's going to come to you in a new covenant way, and that is good for you. The Spirit of God is going to come. By the way, when He comes, verse number 8, He's going to do this. He's going to reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. That is, the Spirit of God is going to come, and He's got a ministry in the world. That is among those who are lost. And His ministry is that of reproving or convincing or convicting the world of righteousness and of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. That is, He's going to convict them of sin because they believe not on Me. That is, the unbelievers sit under their sin and in their sinful condition, and the Spirit of God comes and He begins to weigh heavy on your heart and begins to convict you of your sinful condition. I remember well those days when the Spirit of God began to move upon my heart and reveal to me my sinful, lost condition before God. That's what He does to the lost. He not only convicts them of sin, but He also convicts them of righteousness, verse 10, because I go to My Father and you see Me no more. And that is, while we're sinners, our Lord is completely righteous. He's completely perfect. He's the righteous one, which means this: if there's one thing that a sinner needs, it's righteousness, and He is our righteousness. So the Spirit of God comes and He reveals to us our sinful condition. The Spirit of God comes and He reveals and convicts our hearts that the only one who can give us righteousness is the one who died for us on the cross. It is Christ. He points to our sin, and then He points us to Christ, who is the righteous one whose righteousness we need. And then the Bible says He also convicts of judgment. And the reason why is because the prince of this world is judged, according to verse number 11. And that means this, and that is... that you and I live in a world, ladies and gentlemen, in which the prince, the devil, is under divine judgment. Now, if the prince of the world is under judgment, that means the entire world is under judgment. So the Holy Spirit comes, and you know what He convicts us of? Lost person, He convicts us of our sinful condition. He convicts us of righteousness, that Christ is the only answer to our sinful condition. He's the only one who can give us this righteousness. And He convicts us of judgment because we're sinners, that we are under the judgment of God. The judgment of God means, ladies and gentlemen, we not only are separated from God, but on our way to eternal judgment. Those who've never been born again, on their way when death comes to a place called hell, on their way to a lake of fire. You say, Pastor, we don't believe that stuff anymore. Then you might as well throw the Bible away and get another book, because the Bible makes it clear, ladies and gentlemen. Over and over again, our Lord revealed the reality of this place where the fire never is quenched and the worm never dies, a place of eternal torment that is called hell. The judgment of God. Unless you don't have to wait until you die to see if you're under the judgment of God, if you've never been born again, the Bible says in John 3 that we're already under the wrath of God. The wrath of God already abides on those who have not believed. Already under judgment. Now I remember that, don't you? The Spirit of God coming and dealing with my heart when I was lost. Became deeply aware. My heart was awakened to my condition. The word awakened is a word that I like to use to refer to the Spirit of God when He starts to deal with the heart of a sinner, a lost person who's never been saved. And He awakened my heart. And all of a sudden, I began to realize the truth about what was going on within me and what was true about me. And that is, I knew there was something wrong with me. I knew something wasn't right in my heart. But all of a sudden, I was awakened to the reality that what is wrong with me is that I'm lost, that I was a sinner. I'm lost. I have never been saved, that I am a sinner before God. And as that truth began to weigh heavy on my heart, I realized that the only answer was Christ. He is the only one who could make me right with God, who can make me righteous. And I realized I was under the judgment of God. Listen, I knew that if Jesus came that day, that is in those days when I was lost, that I would be left behind to suffer the judgment of God. I knew that if I died, I'd be under the wrath of God in hell. You say, Pastor, that's a terrible thing to think about. Listen to me now. It is terrible. But I tell you, that's what God used to bring me to a point of real brokenness before Him. And until God brings you to a point of brokenness before Him, then you've never believed upon the Lord Jesus yet. That's what He does, the Spirit of God. He convicts the world of sin and righteousness and of judgment. His purpose is to bring us to the point of repentance, brokenness over our sin, and faith, believing, trusting, resting in Jesus and what He did on that cross, and that alone. Listen, all of us are so sinful and wretched, so ungodly, in the sight of a holy God, and helpless to do anything to save ourselves. We can't do anything to make ourselves right with God. Nothing. We can't live better. We don't. We can't do better, only in a few areas. We're wretched, sinful, and equally guilty before God. The only answer for us is Christ, His cross, His death for us. We're under the judgment of God and deserving. The only answer is simply Christ on that cross dying for our sins. That's the only answer for me. I have no hope outside of Christ Himself and what He did for me on the cross. And you don't either. And that's what the Spirit of God, the Bible says here. He's going to come and He's going to convince, reprove. He's going to reveal that to those who are lost and to the world. But that's not all that the Holy Spirit is going to do. In verse number 12, Jesus said, I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. I've got a lot of things I need to reveal to you, but I can't tell you now. Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth. For He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come. The Spirit of God, He said, there's so many things I need to say to you and reveal to you. He said, but I can't do it right now. It's not time yet. When the Spirit of God comes, He's going to guide you into all truth. That's His ministry. His ministry is not only a ministry to the world, but His ministry is also a ministry to the believer as well. That is, once a person gets saved, the Spirit of God is living on the inside of us, ladies and gentlemen. Once He brings you to that point of brokenness, that point of believing in the Lord Jesus, He immediately is living on the inside of your heart. The Bible says in Galatians 4:6 that God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. He's living in you. And one of the things the Spirit of God, who's living on the inside of us, wants to do is He wants to guide us. He wants to lead us. He wants to direct us. The Bible says here, guide us into all truth so you and I can understand the truth. He wants you to know truth. He wants to take the truth of the Lord Jesus and He wants to reveal it to us. He wants to guide us into all truth. Divine direction. That's what His purpose is for your life. Well, the Bible says in Romans 8:14 that the Bible says if you're the sons of God, those who are the sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. And we are. One of His roles is leadership in our life. And that's Holy Spirit living on the inside of us. He wants to guide us. He wants to direct us. He wants to lead us. That's what He's wanting to do in our life in practical ways and also in truth. He wants to guide you into all truth. He wants to guide the steps of your life, the direction of your life, so that you can be everything God wants you to be. As the Holy Spirit guides you, you're going to find out that He's going to guide you away from some things. You say, well, if I let the Spirit of God direct me and guide me, where's He going to do? He's going to lead you away from some things. There are some things that are in your life right now that you got to leave behind. When the Spirit of God is directing you and leading you and guiding you, there's some things that you're going to have to leave behind. You're going to have to leave them behind you from now on. They've been a part of your life up to this point, but the Spirit of God filling and dominating your life is saying to your heart, it's time for those things to go in your life. Now, you understand how that is, don't you? I mean, in your life generally, just speaking in practical ways, there just comes times in your life when there are things that are in your life that just have to go. And it might be, and I was teaching a little bit in Sunday school about moving, and I don't know why I got off on that, but I did. But moving, is sometimes when you're moving, that's a time when things have to go. And the reason why is because you don't want to carry them to another place. It might be that you're just cleaning and you find some things that just need to go. That is, it just comes time as you're growing up that things have to go. When you have little bit grandkids like I have right now, young grandkids, there's things you have at the house that as your grandkids get to be teenagers, you don't have to have them anymore. There's toys that you have and there's things that you have. You don't need the high chair anymore and you think, well, I need to find somebody to give this high chair to because I don't need it anymore. And the kids have all grown up. There's just times when you've got to let some things go and put some things behind you. You know that in your everyday life. There's clothes that you have, and you've had them for a while, and for some reason they keep shrinking every time, and so it's time for them to go. And there's other clothes that as you go on that diet and lose that weight, and you can't wear them anymore. You know what I'm talking about. We just have to get rid of clothes every once in a while and get rid of tools every once in a while and get rid of things every once in a while. Now, I don't like to get rid of anything, but every once in a while, I have to. That's just the way we are. Well, I want you to know when the Spirit of God is leading your life, when He's directing your life, guiding your life, there are some things that He's going to want you and lead you to let go of in your life. Some things that don't need to be there anymore. You've grown to the point in your life that those things need to be left behind. It might be some commitments you've made. It might be some affiliations that you have. It might be some relationships that you've had in the past. But there are just some things that have got to be left behind. And the reason why is because the Spirit of God is moving you in a brand new direction. He's growing you. And as He grows you, there's some things that have left behind. And there are some things that you've got to step into. There are some relationships that God wants you to establish. There are some ministries that God wants you to be involved in. There are some things that the Spirit of God wants you to do. And the Spirit of God is moving you in that direction. Some things left behind and stepping into brand new territory in your life. Maybe some things you've never stepped into before. Or maybe some things that you have before and you backed away from and the Spirit of God is leading you back in that direction. What I'm trying to say to you is the Spirit of God, if He's filling and dominating our life, He wants to direct our life. Not us anymore. It's not us just deciding, I don't want to do that. Well, it doesn't matter what I want to do. I don't want to go in that direction. I don't want to leave that behind. I don't want to leave that behind. And I don't want to move in that direction. Listen to me now. It's not about us anymore. When the Spirit of God is dominating our life, it is about His will and not ours anymore. It's not about what I want, but about what He wants now. That's the idea here about being filled with the Holy Spirit. Y'all get that, don't you? Now listen, as long as you're in control, you can do whatever you want to. If you don't want to walk away from something, you just hold on to it. If you don't want to move in a certain direction, just don't move in that direction. But if you ever let go and let God, if you ever let the Spirit of God dominate your life, there's just going to be some things you're going to have to leave behind. There's going to be some things you're going to pursue after. He's going to direct your life. Let's look at a couple examples of this kind of direction while I'm preaching about it. Peter certainly experienced that in his life. And that is the Apostle Peter in Acts chapter number 10. He discovered that the Spirit of God wants to lead, guide, and direct our lives. Listen to this experience that Peter had in Acts chapter number 10. I'll just pick up on the story in verse number 9. When the Bible says, on the morrow, that is the next day, as they went on their journey, that is, as some men from the household of a Gentile named Cornelius, Cornelius had received direction from God that needed to send his men to find Peter. And he's seeking God. He's not saved yet, but he's been seeking God, and God heard his prayers, and they're about to go find Peter. So on the morrow, the next day, as they went on their journey, these men sent from Cornelius' household, they drew nigh or near unto the city. Peter went up upon the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. And he became very hungry and would have eaten. While they made ready, he fell into a trance. Peter, up on the housetop, you say, Pastor, that seemed like a strange place to sleep. It wouldn't be in the ancient world. They built flat roofs, and people went up on the housetop with a little bit of a breeze during the hot days to be able to rest. And so he went up on the housetop, and he's going to rest a little bit. The Bible tells us, and he got hungry, and he would have eaten. But while they made ready, that is, while the food was being prepared, I guess the microwaves didn't work very well in that day, and they actually had to cook something. And so while they were preparing the food, the Bible says he fell into a trance. That is, God gave him this vision, and here's what it was. He said he saw heaven opened. That is, the heavens opened up, and a certain vessel descending unto him, as it had been a great sheet knit at the four corners and let down to the earth. So this great sheet-like thing fell down from heaven, the Bible says, and in that sheet, verse 12, wherein were all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth and wild beasts and creeping things and fowls of the air. And listen, all these animals inside this sheet, you remember this story, don't you? All these animals inside this sheet, in this vision that's coming down from heaven, and the Bible says there came a voice to him, that is to Peter, rise, Peter, kill and eat. Now, we know who the voice was because the next verse says, Peter said, not so, Lord. Hey, it's Jesus. It's our Lord himself that's speaking to Peter and says, Peter, see all these animals in this great sheet. I want you to rise up, get up, that is, get up off your bed there on the roof, and I want you to kill these animals, and I want you to start eating them. I know you're hungry. You're hungry, Peter? There's just something to eat. Go ahead. Rise up, kill, and eat. And Peter said, not so, Lord, I can't do that. No way. And the reason why is because I've never eaten anything that is common or unclean. That is, this is unclean according to Jewish law. Not all these animals in this sheet are clean animals, but they're unclean animals. According to Jewish law, I have been strict. Lord, I can't do that. I would never want to forsake what it is that I was taught growing up, and that is, rise up and kill something that is unclean, something that is common, that's not set aside properly and prepared properly for the Jewish people to eat. I would never want to do that. Now listen to me now. Isn't that kind of what I was talking about earlier? And there's the Lord is leading, the Lord is directing. And I just say, Lord, I really don't want to do that. I mean, I really don't want to leave this behind. That is, this tradition of not eating anything, this tradition of not eating anything that is not properly prepared, anything unclean. I don't want to leave this behind. This has always been a part of my life. Ever since I can think back for years, this has been a part of my life. It's been there. It's important to me. And I really don't want to give that up now. I don't want to have to give up something important to me like this. And for me to eat something that is common or unclean, that's something that's a new direction for me. And I have to leave this behind. Lord, I can't do that. I just can't do it. So the voice said in verse number 15, the voice spoke unto him again the second time, what God hath cleansed, that call not thou common. This was done thrice, three times, and the vessel was received up again in heaven. Three times God said, I want you to rise up and eat, and don't call what I've cleansed, what I've said okay, don't call that common. In other words, here's what he's saying to Peter. Peter, listen to me now. What I've given you to eat, you need to eat. You need to leave the past behind. You need to leave that important part of your life behind about not eating anything common or unclean. But don't call what I've given to you and what I've cleansed as being common or unclean. You need to rise up and eat and do what I've told you to do. And God said it three times. He meant it, ladies and gentlemen. Three times is important for emphasis. And that is, this is something that not a suggestion from God. This is an absolutely must. Peter, stop putting behind you what I have said for you to eat. Don't call it common or unclean. What I have cleansed. Three times. And then the thing went back up. This vessel went back up into heaven. The Bible says in verse 17, while Peter doubted in himself what this vision which he has seen should mean, he's trying to figure out, what is God trying to say? I mean, eat this food, these animals that haven't been, that aren't clean or properly prepared. And God said, do it anyway. I've cleansed it. I've made it good for you to eat, and go ahead and eat it. I mean, what does all of this vision really mean? And while he's doing that, behold, the men which were sent from Cornelius, this Gentile, ladies and gentlemen, had made inquiry for Simon's house and stood before the gate and called and asked whether Simon, which was surnamed Peter, was lodged there. In other words, these men finally show up at the same time he has this vision. These men show up sent from a Gentile that would be considered unclean by the Jewish people. Once you get a hold of this, an unclean Gentile has sent for Peter. Peter probably not only has never eaten an unclean animal, but Peter's probably never stepped into an unclean man's house. And that is for a Jew to step into the house of a Gentile, to be around an unclean Gentile. Something that they were raised up to think, this is something I should not do, I cannot do. And that is, these are not God's people. They're outside the covenant promise that God gave to Abraham. That is, we cannot do that. This is something I will not do. I cannot do. I can't give up my tradition. I can't give up that which is important to me and step into a brand new area, a brand new territory. Gentiles being made right with God is something new, ladies and gentlemen, that Peter has never done before. And yet it looks like the Lord is directing him to do it. So the Bible says in verse number 19, while Peter thought on the vision, the Spirit spoke to him. The Spirit of God said, behold, these three men seek thee. There's three men down there at your door. These three men have showed up in the place where Peter was at. They found out where Peter was living, and they're standing there at his door, ringing his ring doorbell, and Peter's looking out there and saying, who is that? Well, probably not that way, but they're standing there at his door. Instead of the ring doorbell, he's got the Spirit of God living on the inside of him that spoke to him and said, Peter, there's three men down there, and they're looking for you. And arise, get up, verse 20, therefore, and get thee down and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent. The Spirit of God said, listen, I know, Peter, you got this problem with your past and all these traditions, and you need to let all that go so you can move in a brand new direction. There's three men down there looking for you. Get up and go with them. Now, you know who said that? The Spirit of God did. He's saying to Peter, Peter, man, it's not you in control anymore. It's not you setting the direction. It's me. If Peter was still setting the direction, he wouldn't eat any of that meat that was considered common or unclean. If Peter was setting the direction and some Gentiles, servants came to him and said, you need to come, Cornelius has sent for you. He said, no, I can't go there. If Peter was setting the direction, that's what he would say. But I want to tell you, the Spirit of God is speaking here, and he is setting the direction. And now Peter is faced with a decision. Am I going to follow my tradition, or am I going to follow the Holy Spirit? What am I going to do? Am I going to hold on to the past, or am I going to move forward in the direction the Spirit of God is leading me? What am I going to do? Am I going to just continue living in this place and like I've always lived? Or am I going to allow some things to change so that I can become what the Spirit of God wants me to be? The Spirit of God not only wants Peter to open the door of the gospel to the Jews on the day of Pentecost, but the Spirit of God is leading him to open the door of the gospel to the Gentiles right here in Acts chapter number 10, beginning with this man named Cornelius. And Peter's got a decision to make. Am I just going to stick with the past? Or am I going to let the Spirit of God direct me in a brand new direction that causes me to leave some things from the past behind so that I can become everything God wants me to be as I move forward? You get that, don't you? Now listen, you can trust the Spirit of God. If the Spirit of God is speaking and working, you can trust Him. He's God. He knows everything. He never wants to move you in a direction that's bad for you, but always what's best for you. Everything that He wills is what is right, it's what is good, is what's best. And so when the Spirit of God is saying to you, like Peter, I want you to leave this behind and move in a new direction in your life, when the Spirit of God is speaking that, listen, that's what's best for you. God knows what's best for you. And it's what best glorifies Him is for God's glory and your good. So do it. Peter's making a decision. He could have said, no, Lord, I can't do that. I can't let go of that past that I've had. I can't do that. To go into the home of a Gentile, I just can't do that. The Spirit of God is saying, arise and go with these men. But everything in Peter's past is telling him, don't do it, don't do it. So Peter has to make a decision, and he made the right one. The Bible says in verse 21, then Peter went down to the men which were sent unto him from Cornelius and said, behold, I am he whom you seek. So how did he know that? The Spirit of God just told him. And so he went down and said, I'm the one you're looking for. And what is the cause whereof you are come? And they said, Cornelius, the centurion, a just man and one that feareth God and of good report among the nation of the Jews, was warned from God by an holy angel to send for thee into this house and to hear words of thee. And then he called them in and lodged them. And on the morrow, the next day, Peter went away with them, and certain brethren from Joppa accompanied him. Some Jews went with him, and they traveled all the way, ladies and gentlemen, to the house of Cornelius. And when they got there, Cornelius was wanting to hear the gospel, wanted to know about the Lord Jesus. And listen, a long story short, Peter explained the gospel to him and those in his household, and the Spirit of God moved, and they got saved that day, and the Spirit of God came to dwell in them with the same evidence that they had on the day of Pentecost as well, being a testimony to the Jews that God has now opened the door for Gentiles to be saved as well. Now I want you to get this, okay? I'm going to try to summarize it so I can move to another story real quick before I have to close. God wanted to do something great through Peter. One of the greatest things that ever happened in any of our lives is when the gospel door was opened to the Gentiles. Now, I know you and I weren't born until some 2,000 years later, but listen, aren't you glad the gospel's available to the Gentiles? It began with Peter going to the household of Cornelius. And the reason why he went, and the reason why this great event happened, the reason why God was able to use Peter in such a miraculous and great and mighty way, is because he just followed the direction of the Holy Spirit. And the Spirit of God led him away from some things from his past and into a brand new ministry, a brand new area of ministry that Peter would have never expected. And listen, he'll do the same thing in your life. You say, what will happen if the Spirit of God fills me? He'll want to direct you. Divine direction will be developed in you. The Spirit of God will lead you away from some things you got to let go of. So that he can, listen, it's not because he's trying to take things away from you, but it's because it's going to hinder you from becoming everything God wants you to be. Brand new ministries and brand new direction and new things that God wants to do through you. But in order to do that through you, there's this stuff, these hang-ups from the past that have got to be dealt with, have got to be taken away. They got to be removed out of our life so we can become what God wants us to be. Now, the Spirit of God works in that kind of way in our life. That's what He'll do in your life. He'll direct you. Divine direction. There's another story. It's Paul in Acts chapter number 13. Let's look at it real quick. In Acts chapter number 13, and then we'll look at Acts 16 before I close. And Acts 13, one of the things that we see about the Apostle Paul in his ministry, that is, as he takes the gospel to the Gentile world as well, is the Spirit of God just leading him and directing him. The greatest missionary that ever walked this planet, that is, as far as the church is concerned, was Paul. And that is, on those three missionary journeys that are recorded for us in the book of Acts, he took the gospel, ladies and gentlemen, all the way from Jerusalem, all the way to Rome itself. And along the way, so many churches were planted, and God moved in such great ways. And you and I admire and respect and honor the Apostle Paul. And but listen, when you look at his life, when you follow his ministry, when you follow the missionary journeys, you find out that the reason why that he went where he went, the reason why he did what he did, was because of the direction of the Holy Spirit. Acts 13, verse 1. There were in the church that was at Antioch. Now this is Antioch, ladies and gentlemen, where the Apostle Paul went because Barnabas was there ministering, their Gentiles being saved in Antioch. You read about it in Acts chapter number 11. And that is those who, the Jews who left Jerusalem because of the stoning of Stephen, were scattered because of the persecution, went as far as Antioch in Syria. And while they were in Antioch of Syria, they began to share the gospel. People started getting saved, not just Jews, but Gentiles. And it was such a great move of God that the leaders in the Jerusalem church sent Barnabas there to find out what was going on. And Barnabas was glad when he got there. And I tell you, God was moving in such a great way. So many people being saved that he needed help teaching those new believers. So he went to Tarsus and found Saul, who had been saved some 10 years earlier, and brought him there to Antioch. And there's in Antioch, there's Barnabas and there's Saul, also known Paul. There they are teaching the new believers in Antioch. And that's where they're at in Acts 13. They've been there about a year. They're teaching the believers. And the Bible says there was in the church, it was in Antioch, certain prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon that was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manian, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. These are the leading teachers in the ministry of the church at Antioch. And the Bible says in verse number 2 that as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, there they are. Listen, when the Bible says they're fasting, implied is praying. They're worshiping, they're fasting and praying. And as they are, the Holy Ghost said. You see that? The Spirit of God began to speak. And apparently, they've got their ears on to hear what the Spirit of God is saying. Now, the reason why they're able to hear what the Spirit of God is saying is because they've been fasting and praying. And when you get the fasting and praying, it's amazing how sensitive your heart becomes to the voice of God. And they're hearing what the Spirit of God is saying. And the Spirit of God said this, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work wherein I've called them." And when they had fasted and prayed, again, they laid their hands on them and sent them away. Barnabas and Saul were set aside. They laid their hands on them as an outward symbol of the fact that God was setting them apart for a special ministry. And they prayed and fasted, laid their hands on them. And then the Bible says they sent them on this new ministry. It is a ministry of missions that is to take the gospel to cities in the Gentile world, particularly on the first missionary journey to the area, region of Galatia, to the cities there to share the gospel, and the first missionary journey began. You know the reason why Paul went on that first missionary journey, don't you? It's because the Spirit of God spoke. That's it. That's the Spirit of God is giving divine direction. He's the one who decided that Paul and Barnabas needed to be set aside for this ministry, for this first missionary journey. He decided that. It wasn't the believers got together and say, "Hey, what do you think we ought to do, Brother Greg? What do you think we ought to do?" Brother Greg's always got an idea. And so he comes up with this idea. This is what we ought to do. Hey, let's do this. Now, the reason why I came up with it is because nobody else said anything, and somebody just needed to say something, so I made something up. And he just said, "This is what we need to do. We need to do this." Now, that's not what happened in the early church. That's not what happened in Antioch. That is, they didn't just get together and say, "Hey, what do we need to do?" And somebody just said, "Well, hey, why don't we do this? Nobody else is thinking of anything. Why don't we just do that?" That's not what happened. It wasn't that the men of the church got together and said, "You know what, let's brainstorm here and kind of figure out what do we need to do. And we got this great ministry going on in Antioch, and let's figure out a way to kind of spread this ministry out. Let's try to brainstorm and find out a way." It wasn't the brainstorming of the men of the church, ladies and gentlemen. It wasn't the brainstorming of the women of the church. It wasn't any of that. It was the Spirit of God who was speaking. God the Holy Spirit. So this is what I want you to do. He spoke to those men who were fasting and praying and seeking God's face. So this is what I want you to do. So they just did it. And they sent Paul and Barnabas, laid hands on them, prayed for them, and sent them out on the first missionary journey. I'm trying to describe to you the results of being filled with the Holy Spirit. It's divine direction. The Spirit of God wants to direct you. He wants to direct you, your whole life. Not us in control. It wasn't Paul who just said, "You know what, I think it'd be a good idea, Barnabas, let's go on a trip. Wouldn't you like to go somewhere?" Barnabas said, "Go? Yeah, I'll go." "Where are we going?" "Going somewhere? Let's go." No, it wasn't them just kind of getting sort of discontent and thinking, "I need to go somewhere, do something, whatever it is. We've been here in Antioch for a year or so, and why don't we just go somewhere else?" It wasn't that at all. It wasn't their will. It wasn't their decision. The Spirit of God spoke. That's how the early church is operating. And ladies and gentlemen, if you'll allow the Spirit of God to fill your life, He also will direct your life as well. He'll give you divine direction. Now, there's a second missionary journey, and the second missionary journey is Paul and Silas. And on the second missionary journey, we see the same pattern, the Spirit of God giving divine direction as well. We see it in chapter number 16, for example. Look at Acts chapter number 16 and beginning of verse number 6. That is, around the first missionary journey, and assuming the second missionary journey, and Paul and Silas. And one of the first things that they did was they went back to the area of Galatia where these churches were established on the first missionary journey to just try to help these churches, help these believers. And as they couldn't just get on Facebook and connect with them, they couldn't get on other social sites and connect with them, they had to actually travel there to those places to help these believers grow and to teach them and to try to get the churches established with leadership in the life of the church. So when Paul and Silas set out on the second missionary journey, the first thing they did was go back to these churches that were established on the first missionary journey to try to help them grow and try to be a blessing to them. And that's what they did. And then the Bible says that after they had done that, after they had traveled to these churches that were established on the first missionary journey, they're trying to figure out, where do we go now on the second missionary journey? We've already revisited the churches on the first missionary journey, so what direction are we going to go in? And so verse number 6 of Acts 16 picks up on that story, and the Bible says when they were gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia, that's the area where they were at on the first missionary journey, and they were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. They were wanting to go to an area, it's not the continent of Asia, but there was a location that was referred to as Asia in the ancient world, and they said, you know what, we need to go there. That is, maybe Paul maybe said, you know what, Silas, why don't we go to that particular area? There's a lot of people there, there's major cities there, and that'd be a great place to share the gospel. And the Bible says the Holy Ghost was forbidding them to do that. Verse 7, and after they would come to Mysia, they essayed to go to Bithynia. They thought, you know what? That is, maybe it was this time Silas. Maybe Silas said to Paul, you know what? If we can't go into the area called Asia, why don't we go into the area called Bithynia? Why don't we go in that direction? And the Bible says the Spirit suffered or allowed them not, would not allow them to go in that direction at all. The Spirit of God is speaking and directing. Listen to me now. Again, we see the same thing. Sometimes, when the Spirit of God is directing, He says, stop. You can't go in that direction. Can't go there. Maybe you've been wanting to go there. Maybe that's the direction you've been wanting to go in. Maybe it's the direction you have been going in, and the Spirit of God is just saying, stop going in that direction. You can't do that anymore. You can't go in that direction. That's not what I want for your life. He'll do that. There's areas He doesn't want us to go in. There's places He doesn't want us to go and relationships He doesn't want us to have and things He doesn't want us to do. And listen to me now, the Spirit of God will just say, that is not the direction I want you to go in. Stop, 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 stop. You say, I don't know how the Holy Spirit would say something like that. I mean, it might be just the Spirit of God in your heart. Just, you know that needs to stop. You know it's not right. You know it's not His will. It's not His purpose. It's not good for you. It's not His direction for you. You know you need to stop. There may be other people that God's placed in your life that are saying, stop, stop. It might be, ladies and gentlemen, the Word of God, as you read it, God, the Holy Spirit, is saying, stop going in that direction. Sometimes He puts up a stop sign. Sometimes the signal is red, stop. That's not God's will for your life. So stop. Now, the reason why He stopped them is because He had something better for them. You see, God doesn't take away something from you just to be mean and cruel, but to be good. And so that you can experience what God wants for your life. Something better. You say, well, what is it? Well, they don't know yet. They don't know yet. And that is, God is just saying stop. The Holy Spirit is just saying stop. This is not the direction you need to go in, so don't go in that direction. But they don't know yet. All they know is they need to stop going in that direction. When the Spirit of God is saying stop, then stop. You say, well, I'm not going to stop until I know what direction He wants to go in or why He wants me to stop. Then you're not operating by faith. You can trust God. That is, when He says stop, it's the best thing for you. It's the best thing. So just stop and trust Him. And they did. As a matter of fact, the Bible says that passing by Mysia, they came down to Troas. They went to Troas, and they just parked it there. And the Bible tells us there in verse number 9, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. And in the vision is what he saw. A man of Macedonia prayed him or begged him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. All of a sudden then, as they stopped, we don't know how long it was, but they stopped. They said, we got to just stop and wait on God. And so they stopped going in the direction they knew they weren't supposed to go in. And then one night, God spoke while they were at Troas. God spoke to Paul in a vision. It was a simple vision. It was just simply a man from Macedonia saying, come over here and help us. And then they knew. Verse number 10. After he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel unto them. In other words, they knew immediately that was it. The reason why the Holy Spirit would not allow them to go into the area of Asia or Bithynia, the reason why is because he was setting them up to go to Macedonia. Macedonia, ladies and gentlemen, is on the continent of Europe. They're going to set sail, going to cross the waters, going to cross the Mediterranean, and they're going to head to Europe. They're going to land, ladies and gentlemen, in the area of Greece. They're going to go into an area called Macedonia and Achaia. They're going to visit these major cities there like Thessalonica and Corinth and eventually Athens as well. Going to visit those major cities in those areas. Philippi, remember Philippi, the Philippian jailer? The reason why that Paul was in the city of Philippi and the Philippian jailer got saved, the reason why all of that happened is because the Spirit of God spoke to him right here and said, you cannot do that anymore. You can't go in that direction. I've got something else for you. I want you to go to Macedonia. That's why. And that's why a church got started in the city of Philippi. That's why you have the book of Philippians in your Bible. Don't you love the book of Philippians? Now, the reason why you've got the book of Philippians in your Bible is because the Holy Spirit directed the Apostle Paul and Silas, away from the area they wanted to go in, to a brand new area they'd never been in before. They had never been in that area before. They didn't even think of going in that direction. They couldn't even imagine that that's what they were supposed to do. That is, it wasn't even in their mindset. It wasn't on their strategic planning calendar. It wasn't any of that there. But the Spirit of God knew where he wanted to direct them and guide them, ladies and gentlemen. And as a result of that, they got to be where God wanted them to be at the right time that God wanted them to be there. And people got saved, and the Spirit of God moved, and churches got started. What I'm trying to get you to see is the Spirit of God wants to lead and direct us as well. Listen, he wants to direct your life. The one who lives on the inside of you wants to give you divine direction. Now listen, you may not go on a missionary journey like Paul and Barnabas on the first missionary journey. You may not go on a missionary journey like Paul and Silas on the second missionary journey. You may not do like Peter and have this vision of these animals and God the Holy Spirit directing you to go to somebody's house that you never thought you'd ever walk into their house to share the gospel with them. But then again, he might. Did you know that he's still directing people, guiding believers to the homes of other people to share the gospel with them? Did you know he's still calling missionaries? The Spirit of God is. Speaking to people's hearts, calling them into missions, to leave home and go to another place they've never been before and share the gospel. You say, well, Pastor, I could never do anything like that. Listen to me now. Who's going to be in charge of your life? Who's going to be in charge of my life? Is it going to be me, or is it going to be the Spirit of God? Am I willing to stop those things that I know the Spirit of God wants me to stop and go in the direction that I know that he's speaking to me about going in? Am I willing just to listen to him, follow after him? Whatever his will is and whatever direction he wants us to go in. Am I willing to leave traditions, relationships, commitments behind that he's leading me to leave behind so that I can become everything that God wants me to be as I move forward and grow and be involved in what God wants me involved in? You see, the issue is, who's in control? Being filled with the Spirit of God means that he's the one controlling. And listen to me now. Those who are filled with the Spirit of God receive divine direction. divine direction. God, the Holy Spirit, speaking and leading and directing your life. Now listen, that's what every father needs. Let's pray. Father, we love you and thank you for your word and your people and what you're saying to us and how you're working on the inside of us. God, I pray that you speak loudly to our hearts. You know the specific areas that you want us to turn loose of and let go of and walk away from so that we can get where you want us to be and be what you've called us to be. God, you know what those areas are and what they are in each one of our personal lives. And thank you for that you speak loudly to those areas. And you, Father, know what your will is and what you've been speaking to us about. And God, I pray that you just help each one of us, God, just to surrender everything that we are and say, Lord, wherever you lead, I'll go. Whenever you want me to go, I'll go. Whatever your purpose is, that's what I want. God, would you help us to get to that point of full surrender, of yielding everything to you and your direction for our lives. And we'll praise you for it and give you the glory for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand together. Brother Greg's going to start leading us into song in just a moment. And as we sing, if God's dealing with your heart, speaking into your life, and you need to get surrendered to him, maybe some things you need to stop, maybe some things you need to walk away from, you need to lay them here on the altar and leave them here. But you might be here and